Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to it. What an exciting night down at Pepsi Center tonight with the Lakers in town and LeBron James. What's up, LeBron? What's up, King James?
Nah, I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world.
Well, somebody has to be. I don't see a lot of people arguing with LeBron on that, but hey, would LeVar Ball be here tonight? Do you think, does he take roadies to watch Lonzo? And what's up with LaMelo? Where in Turkestan is he playing this year?
I think he tried to go back to high school, and then teams wouldn't play him because he had already been a professional.
He's ineligible for high school.
Yes.
He's playing in Ohio right now.
Where?
It's some private school in Ohio.
Yeah, there could be a prep school that has just a different set of rules.
But I think an opponent of his prep school said, we're not going to play because you've got a professional out there.
Well, that's a little snobby of them. He's playing in Ohio? Lee, what is worse, playing in Ohio or Turkmenistan? I guess it depends on where you are in Ohio. Further away from Kentucky, I guess. LeVar Ball, what he's done to his son.
He is at Spire Institute in Geneva, Ohio.
Al thinks it's great. I think it's horrible.
I agree with you.
I think the kid just, you could have moved him to a really good high school or prep school and just let him stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone to UCLA.
Yep.
Which is, do you know how cool it is to be a Division I scholarship athlete at UCLA? I don't care if they're on the downturn with football right now, which they are. It's UCLA.
No, they're going in the right direction. Chip Kelly is making that program pretty darn good.
They had a tough year this year, but okay.
They improved significantly throughout the season.
Okay.
Pac-12 football.
I love it. I'm Mr. Pac-12. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
How about that Arizona State game? Come on now.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oof.
Pac-12.
Got that territorial cuff back where it belongs. N'Keal Harry, a top 10 guy?
He's pretty special.
Number one receiver taken off the board?
I'd be curious to see what his combine numbers as far as speed is. I think his ability to use his body to make contested catches is fantastic. Reminds me of Anquan Boldin with that ability.
Herm compared him to Dez Bryant.
I don't think that's a very good comparison. I never thought Dez was that great.
First round guy.
Yeah, but I never thought Dez was that great. I thought he got a lot of pub because he played for the Cowboys, but I didn't think he was a truly great receiver. Okay. When was the last time you saw Dez just flat run by somebody?
All good points. I just think the experience of just staying in high school, being cool, having fun.
It's a fantastic experience. And
you know who really blew it is LiAngelo, because he was stealing handbags in China. He's not really that good, but he was on the UCLA team. He could have, at the minimum, had a four-year collegiate career at UCLA.
Had a great ride, had a lot of fun.
Yeah, instead he was trying to steal purses in, Peking, and didn't go his way.
Can you believe UCLA forced LiAngelo Ball to change from the number that he wore his entire life, number 3, to number 15?
The stunning.
LeVar Ball actually came out recently and said that was one of the things that got them off to the wrong foot, started off on the wrong foot, was making LiAngelo Ball change his number from 3 to 15.
Aren't there stories that LeBron has told people to have LeVar back off? Hasn't that happened this year, too?
Well, I mean, how much have you heard LeVar Ball even say anything about the Lakers?
I haven't heard that much at all. But so when I heard the story, I was like, well, okay.
Well, I don't think they put a microphone in his face every day anymore, either. They're not giving him the same podium.
Yeah. Lonzo's good, though.
Yeah.
And I think LaMelo will be a professional player, maybe. I just think it's a bummer. I look at our local high school basketball kids, and we got a couple really talented ones at Smoky. Really talented one. D1 kids. Maybe the player of the year in Kenny Foster. And it looks like fun. Like, who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't think that that's great?
Why don't you earn the number three? Why don't you ball out wearing 15?
Right.
And they go, okay, all right, fine. You've proven yourself. You're not some overprivileged kid who thinks the world should be given to you. You've earned it through your stellar play. We'll get you number three.
Right.
That's fine.
Anyways. I think UCLA is just cool.
It's fantastic. It's but an I love iconic the, basketball institution, the Pauley Pavilion.
I know. So much cooler than USC.
I would agree with that.
In basketball.
I would agree with that.
I would take USC in football. But UCLA football is not far behind.
Well, no, it's way far behind.
It's pretty far behind. But
draft choices, All-Americans, Heismans, the storied history of USC football is literally a top three football program in all of college football.
Yeah, but have you seen the campus at UCLA?
Yeah. I was there last spring with Jim Mora for 5 days.
How was your meeting, by the way, with David Shaw?
It was fantastic.
Did you go into the future for David Shaw at all?
I did. I did ask him. I said, well, it was going to be senior day, the last home game for Stanford, and we were asking about the players, and he was like, you know what? As a player, because he played at Stanford, I wanted to get senior day over, all the festivities of it, and start to play the game. I was focused on the game, and I think most of these guys are going to be that way. But for me as a coach, senior day makes me cry every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh, it would destroy me.
Because,
for sure.
Know, like, the kids hug me, and they hug their parents, and they go back in the locker room.
Oh.
After the first kid, I look down the line, there's 24 more kids to hug.
Yeah.
And all these kids, I know their parents.
Right.
I've met their Uncle Jim. I've sat on the couch.
Right.
I brought them into my office to yell at them. I've hugged them when family members have died.
Right.
I've cried with them over injuries. So all that comes back to me as I'm doing this. So senior day is very tough for me. So I asked him the question immediately after he went into that. And I said, is that one of the reasons why you stay? He's like, I've been at another other level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. What we're doing here at Stanford, because it's Stanford, is special anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotional tie of college football, you can't replicate that on the NFL level. So that's why I'm going to be here. And besides, if I left, if I tried to leave, my life would kill me.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I did ask your question.
It's hard to replace that atmosphere. And if you've not been to Palo Alto or been around Stanford, it's hard to understand how just different it really is.
It's an amazing place.
Yep.
Yes.
They got that going for them.
Yeah. In the Hall of Fame for their athletic, achievements, there is Andrew Luck's reading corner. All the books that Andrew Luck recommends, they put them in this reading corner. And there's a bench in front of it, and athletes literally sit there and read the books that Andrew Luck sends in once a month to be changed over.
Yeah. Nerd, that's so cool.
It's the kind of thing that makes Stanford, Stanford.
Of course. Something tells me, though, if you waved $100 million over 10 years in front of David Shaw, that his wife may change her mind.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You sure about that?
I don't.
$100 million over 10 years. It's the same deal as John Gruden.
He may get that at Stanford at some point.
Oh, wow. You think so?
The way college football salaries are going up, they're not going to be paying players anytime real soon.
Right.
So that money's got to go someplace. Each Pac-12 team gets...
What's David Shaw make right now?
I think he's probably $5 million.
More than Vance Joseph or similar.
Actually, no. Larry Scott is the highest paid of all the Pac-12 officials, the commissioner of the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
He makes more than all the coaches. So I think Larry Scott's with everything's like 4-1. I think David Shaw's high threes.
So VJ makes more money than David Shaw.
Yeah.
Think about that, everybody, for a second.
It's the NFL.
It's the NFL. So a first-time coach makes more money than one of the more established college coaches in America.
Yeah, well, which I'm sure he'll...
But Nick Saban, of course, makes more money. Jim Harbaugh makes more money than most NFL coaches.
Jimbo Fisher,
yeah.
Dabo Sweeney.
You can go through the list.
Yeah.
At the highest level... On average, the highest level, the college coaches make more money than the NFL coaches.
I think Saban and Belichick are in that 12-a-year category.
Isn't that something?
Well, look at their records of success.
Why do fans dislike VJ so much?
I think he's an easy scapegoat. He's a very easy scapegoat. It's harder, and I know the uproar for John and some of the draft picks and some of the players has increased this season, but I think Vance is a very easy scapegoat. Do I think he helps himself with some of the choices on the sideline? No, I think he continues to make some choices that he probably would not make again. Check those off the list. But I think every young coach goes through that. But because of the situation, because of the scrutiny, because of the already let's fire Vance thing that started last year, and then John didn't certainly help that with his needing to make a decision, he came into the season on the hot seat. He came into the season with the guillotine literally over his head from the very start of things. He never had a chance to reset the impression.
Okay. What will it take for fans to get over that?
I'd like to see a full game from VJ when they show him on the sideline and he never looks confused. You know what I mean? I don't think you ever want your coach or your team, regardless of what team it is, to ever look confused.
Do you think he's been looking confused?
There's a shot or two, whether he's actually confused or not. There's a shot or two every game where they show him and he appears to be confused.
Okay.
And I think that doesn't sell very well publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a time where every coach is confused. What just happened? Who made the mistake? Let's figure it out. Somebody tell me what went wrong there. I didn't see the play. I was looking at this. I was looking at that. But they catch Vance in those moments and he makes him look like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Can I tell you, I think the best thing for the Broncos for the long term, this is going to sound weird, but I think the fewer players on the team that were part of that 2015 Super Bowl, the better. Because the heights that those guys were at, with the coaches that they really got along great with, it is hard to replicate that.
It's impossible.
And it's just...
Think about how lucky and special that season was.
I'm not trying to get rid of Chris Harris, or I'm not trying to get rid of Von Miller necessarily, but I'm just saying the fewer of those guys that I think one of the reasons there's better buy-in now, and I do believe there is better buy-in now with the players. First of all, it's just a much better character-wise and football-wise draft class. And I shouldn't even say draft class, rookie class. Because I can't say draft class with Philip Lindsay because you didn't draft him. You drafted David Williams in the 7th round, and he's with the Jaguars.
Would this team have 5 wins without Philip Lindsay?
God, no.
Okay.
No.
Philip Lindsay is easily the offensive MVP of this football team. I don't know if there's even a... Maybe Emmanuel's number 2? Case may be like 9th or 10th. Which shouldn't be the way it is. Your quarterback should be your MVP, but that's clearly not the case. No, Philip Lindsay, never mind like rookie of the year, that sort of thing. No, he is the offensive player of the year for the Denver Broncos. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, that's no argument.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear an argument, but I don't think there could be one.
I don't know how there would be.
Mm-hmm.
The thing they need to do with Philip, by the way, is... You know, I hear the, you know, run the ball more, run the ball more. That's just too simplistic. But if you want to talk about getting the ball in his hands more, that's fine. They didn't throw one pass to Philip Lindsay in that game on Sunday. Yikes. Did you see what Christian McCaffrey did last week?
100-100.
You know, go Valor. I mean, that was something else. That wasn't a high school game. That was in the NFL. That wasn't a college game. That wasn't a real National Football League game.
I think he had 28 of the 50 touches.
His fantasy points were something ludicrous, like 46.7. I mean, it was out of control for Christian. Yes, Big Sexy.
If we're talking about passes thrown or targeted to running backs, Broncos running backs, he only had 2 in Devontae Booker. And 1 reception. So it's not like Royce Freeman was getting balls out of the backfield.
No, I understand. But... You know, Brian Parker got a target. I'm just saying, if you want to, the easiest passes are these little, they're not even wheel routes. I don't even know what to call them. Little swing passes to the running back. It's 9 yards guaranteed. If he catches a swing pass, it is 9 yards at least.
Now the teams are starting to game plan specifically.
How many touchdowns has Christian caught on that little pass? It's ridiculous.
Now that they're starting to game plan specifically for Phillip Lindsay, now you need to leave him on the field, but use him as a decoy. We don't want to add to the workload, but we want to be able to dictate where coverage goes.
Yeah.
We want to be able to know what the coverage is going to be, who's covering this guy, the safety, the linebacker, and you can use Phillip Lindsay in those ways without giving him additional touches to make everyone else more successful.
Yeah, there's not a lot of reasons to take him off the field. And they cut C.J. Anderson because it was like, when are we going to take Christian off the field? Like, for what point? That's who we have. We have our Christian McCaffrey. It's Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah, and I think both those guys need to be limited touch-wise.
Okay, I'd put it between 20 and 25 a game.
I prefer to see 15 to 18.
I understand why. But 14's definitely not enough. You know?
No.
You
14 plus four catches, now we're at 18.
Okay. What'd Christian have? It was like 20, something like that, 20, 25, something like that.
28 touches.
Was it that much?
Yeah.
28. That's
28 of the 50 touches they had.
That'll eventually get you killed.
Right. So that's not sustainable.
Right.
Let's do things that are sustainable. And I understand he's got success, and that stat came out where he's listed amongst the top rushers that has 80 less carries than those guys.
Yeah.
Because those guys are the guys who Zeke gets better as a game goes along, because he's going to pound on a defense. Phillip, he gashes the defense. It's different. So he needs to be fresh. He needs to be a little bit more of a slashing type of back to be effective, in my opinion. Now, he runs bigger than the tackles than everybody anticipated, but his turbo button through the hole is literally off the charts.
Christian was 28 total touches. They had 52 total plays.
Okay. So I was wrong on the last part of it.
I feel you. I get close all the time. I don't even worry about it.
What are you looking up over there, my friend?
Well, I'm just looking. They had seven targets like tight ends, for example. Now Jeff Heirmann's out. That's a bummer, for sure. Andy Janovich is going to have a little bit more of roles like an H-back, which is, you know, fine, I guess.
I'm not a fan of
Jano guy.
Of Heirmann going down. Well, Jake Butt going down, and then Heirmann going down, and then saying we still need to find targets for the third tight end. Just throw it to somebody else who's a more explosive player.
Well, Lacoste is basically a third down, red zone sort of guy. You know, he's not necessarily an explosive player, but he's a reliable pass catcher in those scenarios. So I know what you're saying. But he's a good target to have, for sure. The guy can catch. I like Matt Lacoste quite a bit. I think he could actually be kind of a little bit of a secret weapon down the stretch here. But I think just throwing the ball to Phillip would kind of answer. He's the most dynamic player you have.
No doubt about it. But again, I think you don't want to get into the place where you overuse him or you set him up for injury because of the amount of touches he gets. That's why I think the decoy plan can keep him in a very similar role, but allow other players to be successful because teams are game planning for him.
Back to our original point, this may be one of the reasons why fans are just like a little fed up with Vance Joseph, is because what seems obvious to the fans and what this conversation is about Phillip Lindsay, I do agree with the fans on this. I think you need to implement a plan that's a little bit more effective, because I think the fans, when they see something and they're, why isn't this happening, or they're frustrated by it, they just point the finger right at the coach.
Right.
And perhaps rightfully so. We have seen instances where head coaches just get lost a little bit and things happen too fast. But my point with Vance Joseph is, what do we really want here? You realize if you bring in a new coach, you bring in a new everything. A new everything. New OC, new DC, new this, new that. You know, even in a situation where Todd McMahon's having a great year as a special teams coordinator, we already saw a situation where Jody Camillus left the special teams job for the Broncos for another special teams job because he was loyal to a lot of the guys and he just didn't like the direction the team was going. So he just took a lateral position just to get the hell out of there. I get it. I get your frustrations with VJ. I understand where they come from. But I think, Chad, I think we've been through the worst of it. I like to think we've been through the worst of it. And where exactly do you think you're going to go at this point? I really honestly believe every single NFL coach deserves a three-year period of time to just figure it out and sort of establish the way they want to go. The turnover in the NFL is such that by your third year, that team more or less is going to look like you want it to look. I mean, you've had time through free agency and the draft, if you do things right, to more or less have the team that you wanted. But if you don't get 3 years to do it, I don't know if it's fair on anybody. And you have to realize where the Broncos really were starting from. That was the biggest misconception, that our defense was so special we could just, you know, keep going on. It wasn't that special anymore. It wasn't the 2015 team. It was coming off a 9-7 Gary Kubiak season. We lost certain players. Players got older. It just wasn't the same, but we thought it was. We treated it as if it was the same, which was a huge mistake.
Huge. Each season is separate unto itself. You cannot just pick up where you left off on either side of the ball. It just simply doesn't work that way.
And when you draft a quarterback in the first round and things aren't good, it's time to play him. Now, Paxton Lynch was a terrible pick. The guy can't scratch. He's trying out left and right, but nobody wants to sign him up or, you know, I mean, think about that for a second. How many tryouts he's had. He can't catch on as anything.
Nathan Peterman.
Oh, it's stunning.
Is out there.
Hey, Jeff Driscoll starting for the Bengals.
Nick Mullins.
Right. He had his moment. Might be done, but he had his moment.
C.J. Beathard.
These guys, these are on teams, these guys.
They've started games, these names.
They've started
mentioning.
Games.
Yes.
And never mind that you're seeing all five of the first-round quarterbacks having positive impacts on their team this year to different degrees. Darnold's been hurt, Allen's been hurt, but Josh Allen comes in and runs for like 100 yards or something. You look at Lamar Jackson, and yeah, I know it was quirky, 27 rushes. He had two rushes last week, and they won again.
Baker Mayfield
is ridiculous. You know, I'm watching the Bengals today, and that was hard to do, by the way. I deserve a pat on the back for watching three straight Cincinnati Bengals games. But when I got to the Browns,
good for you, bud.
It was like impossible, Chad, to take your eyes off of Baker Mayfield. Dude, he was ridiculous.
He's legit.
His accuracy rate is like something absurd, like 77%.
Hashtag Baker challenge.
I talked all offseason about when I went out to Pro Football Focus and watching tape with those guys. It was clear he was literally 20 points better than any of those other quarterbacks from an accuracy rating.
His cockiness, and it is cocky to be ragging on Hugh Jackson like he was, and I didn't think that was the greatest moment, but his confidence level is, it's ridiculous. It's off the charts.
It's awesome.
But he's not alienating his teammates. So he's carrying that confidence while still everybody's got his back. He's not pushing himself away like RG3 did. Where RG3 was isolating himself from the rest of his teammates. Baker's not doing that.
No. He's a team guy.
He is a team guy. It is stunning to watch their offense when it's clicking.
They're going to be good.
I don't know how they couldn't be.
That's why people, you know, looking at these next five games, people are like, oh, man, you know, it's going to be 5-0.
Oh, I think the toughest game by far will be Cleveland on a Saturday night.
Chargers will be tough, too.
I don't think so. I was ready to write off the Chargers, and then Phillip goes and has a
20-29
ridiculous day.
I think he had a fumble, though. He still fumbles the ball.
He just is not. He's just not a clutch. He's a great player, but he's not a championship player.
He hasn't proved that to be that.
But he is a great player, not a championship player. That Browns game, I think, is the toughest game left on the Broncos schedule.
I will say that, and then followed up by the Chargers. And then the other three, Cincinnati, San Francisco,
Oakland. I don't know how we lose. If we win four more games in a row, right? And we are sitting there at 9-6, and we have the Chargers at home, there is no freaking way we can lose that game. If we have all that momentum going on, and we go into that Chargers, and I'm staying incredibly optimistic here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I look at this Cincinnati team. If we can't not only win, but kind of bury these guys, I will be surprised. The Broncos are a much better team than the Bengals. Much better.
I've lost games to teams that didn't have 100 yards of total offense. Weird stuff happens.
I gotcha. But I'm just looking at things on film and on paper, and that is just keeping it real. And by the way, just keeping it real, we were better than the Giants last year, and we folded like a 10. Mm-hmm. One of the most humiliating regular season losses of all time. On Sunday night, national TV, coming off a bye, playing a winless Giants team, and it was a disaster, okay? That was the most winnable game I think I'd ever seen of all time. So I know what you're saying. It can happen. Be careful. But I'm just telling you, on paper, just looking at it, with the where these teams are right now, Chad, if we don't beat these, I think it's going to be like 31-13, something like that. Look at what the Chiefs did to them. Look at what the Saints did to them. Look at what the Browns did to them.
I know. We also gave up 300 yards to the Jets.
Dude, we've given up 1,000 yards in 2 weeks.
Right.
No, we got some issues.
Six turnovers, that helps remedy.
But I don't care if Joe Mixon runs for 170 yards. They're not going to score points against this Broncos defense. They are not. 13, maybe. Maybe 13.
I'm with you from a first look standpoint, but again, I just know the NFL and the ball bounces funny. Look over the entire Broncos schedule. The only one truly convincing win was Arizona.
The only way VJ gets fired, in my opinion, at this point, is a just 1-4 the rest of the way probably gets him fired. You finish at 6-10.
Well, I think the hot seat is cooled
there
down.
There's just no way that's going to happen.
I think the hot seat is cooled down, but it certainly can heat back up quickly.
I think at 2-3, you pick up 7 wins, you're fine. I think at 3-2, and anything better than 2-3, I think 7-9, you're fine.
Okay.
Yes or no?
I would agree with that. I think it would be very difficult to make the change at that point. Because, again, if the arrow is trending in the right direction, then you're good to go. But if it's not, if they finish, 1-4, then no.
What could we have? What could happen out there for you to not hate Vance Joseph? What could happen out there? Because the hate is so palpable.
I'd love to talk to the fellas about that.
303-713-1043. It's a Drive on the Fin.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Ted's Tuesday with Big Al and D-Mac, presented by Ted's Montana Grill. Coming up at 5:45. Win dinner on us tonight with a $50 card to Ted's. You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I was watching my guy Kyle Clark on Hey Next. My wife loves that show. I've not really seen it all that often, but I think Kyle's cool, and I was watching and I was entertained and informed. And it struck me because I'm watching it. My wife's like, hey, this show's really good. I'm like, yeah, it is pretty good. Kyle's a good dude. Syracuse guy. And one of the things on Hey Next was everybody hates Vance Joseph. I was like, wow, that's kind of a funny way to put it. But I couldn't really argue with it, Chad. So it made me think, I definitely don't hate Vance Joseph, by the way. Nor am I sitting here advocating for him to be fired, because I've got, a more realistic viewpoint of all this. First of all, who's to say the Broncos are the number one coaching destination for, say, John Harbaugh?
Right.
Who's to say, that makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike McCarthy? You want Mike McCarthy? He's going to be fired. That dude's going to be fired. It is falling apart in Green Bay. You want Mike McCarthy here? Is Mike McCarthy the equivalent of John Fox?
It fell apart for Andy Reid in Philly.
But I'm asking a question. Is Mike McCarthy the new version of John Fox?
Certainly has some success with a quarterback. Would he want to come someplace where the quarterback situation is unknown?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to point out the choices are not. Where are we going? College? You want to go down the Josh McDaniels route again?
What about all these coordinators?
That's right. Well, what in the world is the difference with a young, fresh-faced coordinator as you desperately search for your next Sean McVay? What is the risk-reward compared to bringing back your coach and coordinators for their third year together? I think it's absurdly risky to go in under that coordinator route compared to a offensive, defensive coordinator and head coach together for 3 years with a quarterback that you have for a second year. Listen, man.
We'll just say 2.5 for Bill Musgrave, not a full 3.
He was here.
But not as an offensive coordinator.
He didn't care. He was here.
He didn't have the same responsibilities then as he did
now. Nitpicky. He was still here. He's under the tutelage. He knows the system. It's about being in the environment. Whether you're what your specific job is, you know. But I think it's hard, Chad. You tell me for a new offensive coordinator to come in with a new quarterback that they've never worked together to try to figure things out. That can't be easy.
It's difficult, no doubt. Baker Mayfield's having success as a rookie. It happens.
I was watching Baker Mayfield, and I'm like, why? When you look at Case Keenum, you're like, why can't Case Keenum... What is the difference between Case Keenum and Baker Mayfield?
A lot.
Well,
first-round talent.
Why, though?
Yeah, to Big Sexy's point, first-round talent.
Specifically?
Arm talent, timing, anticipation.
They look like they should be the same exact guy. It is remarkable to see a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, who obviously is way better than Case Keenum.
Patrick Mahomes, first year as a starter.
I get Patrick. But Case Keenum doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't look like that. He looks like Baker Mayfield.
Eric Bieniemy, first year coordinator.
Who's calling the plays?
So you're saying he's not coordinating the offense?
I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's never more than 3.5 inches off Andy Reid's left pocket.
Yeah. As he should be. Shouldn't the head coach and the coordinators be married to each other?
Well, sometimes they're up in the booth. Sometimes they're not. I mean, he literally is in his left pocket. It's kind of left pocket, right pocket. I don't know. He's in his pocket. But the bigger question is, what's it going to take for you not to hate VJ? Clay, you're on the Fan. Yes, Clay.
I think as long as we are competitive in games, and with the exception of the Jets this year, I mean, think back to last year, we got embarrassed a few times. Think back to Mike Shanahan's last few years when that was really the hallmark, I think, what led to his demise. I think you can see the improvement this year.
Okay. Well, they've improved, so I guess you don't hate them.
So that's a very easy statement.
Levi, you're on the Fan. Hi, Levi.
Hey, V-Mac. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I don't hate VJ. I never hated VJ. I don't think he was the problem. But I will say that I think Broncos country will stop hating VJ if they can stay competitive. But what's more is if they can win the games they're supposed to and not having nasty losses like the Jets.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hey, dude, everybody, calm down. Almost every single NFL team at some point in the season has a stinker.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. To think that that Jets game, you know, Al puts a lot of emphasis on that Jets game. I look at that Jets game as like one of the more losable games of the entire year. First of all, to make the playoffs, what do you got to go to make the playoffs? 10-6, right? Minimum, probably.
Usually, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that really mean? It means 6-2 at home, 4-4 on the road. So then you just break down the road games. Like, you know, what games on the road are just like, the Baltimore game, right? Okay? I consider the Jets game one of those games. Kansas City, I'd throw that in there.
How about any game that has an 11 a.m. kickoff?
I think that's a little too simple.
The Broncos haven't won a game under VJ in 11 a.m. kickoff.
Well, it's a good time to break that trend. The Jets game to me is That to me is not some sort of watershed horrible moment.
But it's symbolized because of the effort level.
Yeah, it's bad.
It symbolized all the worst thoughts of the VJ era in one game.
But look what happened the next week. Now, it wasn't a win. It wasn't a win the next week. But you lost to the Rams 23-20. You played the Rams as tough as anybody has played the Rams all year.
But again, we're talking about fan perception here.
I know.
And if you were to talk to the fans, you would hear the Jets game mentioned more than the Rams game.
I think that's silly, but okay.
And you would hear more often mentioned than either the Chiefs game.
Well, we were never in the Jets game. So you can be upset about it, I suppose, but we weren't close to winning it. You want to be upset? Be upset that Case Keenum couldn't hit Demaryius Thomas on a very simple pass to win that first Chiefs game. Be upset that, you know, maybe we really should have got Brandon McManus a tad closer than 51 yards in that Texans game. Maybe we could have been a little smarter with the play calls on that one, right? Because his percentage of hitting 40 to 44 yard kicks is way higher, 20% higher than 50 plus yard kicks.
I'm not sure how this is helping the fans not hate VJ, though.
My buddy T-Bone, who's a good guy. I gotta read the text from T-Bone. T-Bone, you're crazy. If they don't go 4-1, Vance has to go, and I will drive him the hell out of here. Chad, I'll just say it again. You got to have a plan, and you got to stick to it and see it through. Or those who are making the plan should be replaced. And nobody wants to replace John Elway. Right?
Well, I think if you ask the text line, I think you would get some people who...
Well, all right, let me be more plain. John Elway ain't going nowhere.
Okay, that's a simpler way to put it.
That was my grammar. I think I made up words there. John Elway will remain in his position. Unless they restructure something and Gary Kubiak is the official GM and John's also there. But John Elway's not going anywhere. And the vast majority of fans would say he shouldn't be going anywhere. The majority of fans would say that.
It was about 50-50 a few weeks ago.
No way. No way was it 50-50.
From the conversations I had.
How many guys you talked to? Four?
No, I was talking to people every day. Everywhere I go, people recognize me. And everywhere I go, people talk to me about football. So I'm forced to have these conversations all the time. Airports, planes.
Felt like 50-50.
Doctor's visits. Dentist. No, I actually took a count. Because it became such a strong sentiment.
And you got to about 50-50.
I was like, wow, this is a real thing.
I'm not saying it's not a real thing. 50-50 seems high to me, but okay.
And I wasn't, you know.
I'm not trusting your experience in airports.
I wasn't asking the question. People were just literally giving it up freely to me.
Okay. I would say it's more like 70-30 in a positive nature of John, you know, not wanting John to go.
I think it's swung back. Yes.
Yeah. So my point with that is John is creating this plan.
Which is?
Vance Joseph is his coach.
Are you sure about that? He wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think so.
He wasn't sure last year.
It was tricky last year at the end of the year, yeah.
At no point this season has he made a strong affirmative statement that Vance is my guy.
He doesn't really talk to the public all that often.
Oh, yes, he does.
He may get up on a podium and crack some jokes about Cincinnati. That could be great.
He has certainly had the opportunity.
You don't think he's been supportive enough?
Hear me out. He has certainly had the opportunity to come out in a very clear fashion.
Mm-hmm.
He has not. Some unequivocal, without a doubt, clear fashion. So,
do you think that would help the fans like support VJ more if he did that?
Yes, it would.
Hmm.
Because if you're saying a guy who has a 70% approval rating now comes out and supports the coach in a clear, no doubt about it fashion, yes, those 70% who approve of John, a majority of them would then approve of VJ.
This is the Drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
What we got going on here tonight? The Avs in Nashville to take on the Predators. Oh, Big Sexy. That's Big Sexy's team, Predators. They'll be home tomorrow to take on the Penguins. Can't wait to see Mario Lemieux. Blues in town on Friday. And tonight, LeBron and the Lakers are in town. Hey, how awesome is it that we have a really, really cool game at Pepsi Center and the tip is at 7 o'clock, not at like 9:50?
Awesome.
The game that we got is a nice double dip. Nice double dip at home tonight.
It's called a Belgian dip.
I love it. I'll have go back and forth. We'll have a little dinner in the McKee household. Sets up nicely.
I got yoga.
Yeah, that probably would be a better thing for me to do, but I'll probably... I got some meat sent to me from Uruguay, so I think I'm going to have my Uruguayan meat and watch the Nuggets and the Avs.
Back up. Give me more about your...
Delicious.
What? Uruguayan meats.
What, people don't normally have meat imported to them from Uruguay?
If they do, I'm unfamiliar, so I'm just looking for some more information on your Uruguayan meats.
Nice try. Chad, you're on the fan. Hi, Chad.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, I just want to say I'm 51. I've been watching the Broncos since 74, and there's one thing that I know about Broncos country, and that is they love to eat their own and always have. I mean, they hate Simeon. They hate Paxton. They hate this. They hate that. They hated Kubiak.
Right.
I mean, you guys must feel like you're...
Chad, to your point, and I do like interacting with fans on Twitter during the game. It'll be if 5 minutes into the game and the opponent will kick a field goal, and my timeline will fill up with, we are the worst team of all time. I knew we were going to lose this game. I'm talking a field goal, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right? You should have seen what the reaction was when the Steelers were up 7 and driving. And I just said, hey, everybody, I look like a prophet here. But it's like turnovers change everything. And 3 plays later, Chris Harris made a pick. But to your point, Chad, that is true. I mean, we are tough around here. Why is that?
I don't know, but I really do think, BJ, if you can't look at this man and see that he is getting better,
right?
The players are playing their butts off for him. This
Agreed.
Team could have packed it in.
Agreed.
And look what he's done with the offensive line already. I mean, just switching out to some of the younger guys, and they're playing a lot better. And the bottom line is, for me, with the quarterbacks, these guys are just been tractored for the last, and you saw some of that with Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm.
It's not natural for a human being to be pile-driven into the ground. You have to get some pass protection, and we're finally getting it, and that's why Case is playing better.
I appreciate the optimism, Chad. And it's not false optimism or made up stuff. Chad Brown, at this point last year, it was the Eagles beating us by 30, the Patriots rolling over us. I mean, it was ugly.
The margin of defeat was just so huge.
And it was absurd.
Yeah, and to steal a phrase from Coach McIntyre up in Boulder, rest his soul, you lose big, then you lose close, then you start winning close,
mm-hmm.
then you win big. And that's kind of the cycle of a football team when you're rebuilding as the Broncos are. So they're in that lose, close, win sometimes kind of phase right now.
Yeah, that's good.
And they're playing hard, to Chad, the caller's point.
They're putting themselves in positions where they can win, and they have won.
Yeah. They're finding ways
Chad,
to win.
It's a reboot, not a rebuild. Just so you're aware.
Okay, my bad. And it's Bronco country, not Bronco nation.
Well, clearly.
Well, I was chastised.
I mean, we actually have a banner at the stadium that says Broncos country.
Like 2 years ago.
No, the banner's big. It's on the sidelines.
Someone yelled at me.
Oh, someone yelled at you because you said Broncos nation?
Yeah.
Mike, you're on the fan. Hi, Mike.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Super.
Thanks for having me.
What's up, dude?
Hey, so last caller, Chad, had some good points, and I definitely tip my hat to Vance Joseph. I did not think the Broncos would be in this point, especially being at 5-6. But the one thing that still scares me about Vance, or what I don't like about him, is I just don't know if situationally he's that great.
Yeah, I think he's had some weak moments, Mike. I'll agree with you there. But isn't he getting better?
Let me ask you this. So at the end of the game, when there was 4 downs.
Yeah, they should have used timeouts. Downs, yes, they should have used timeouts.
3 timeouts.
Should have used timeouts.
I was looking at the TV like, why are you not calling a timeout?
You are right. Look back at the end of the game. Think about the timeouts. The Broncos did not handle it the right way. They got away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's at some point where you concede your opponent is about to score.
Yeah.
So you need to put as much time on the clock as humanly possible to give yourself a chance.
Also, just don't look confused. That's my advice for the day.
Chad, I appreciate it. Enjoy your hot yoga.
No, I'm going to kill it tonight.
Kyle, thanks for everything. You demand Strawberry Man, Big Sexy. Come on. Gotta feed my gerbil named Nibbles. Drive Reloaded is coming up next. Go Nuggets, go Avs, go Broncos.